Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, hello. I love everyone. I see you all on the board. Thank you, chatters, for being there. Today is astrology day. Wednesday is always rocking astrology with our famous astrologist, Ron Cole. Hi, Ron.
Hello.
Hi. And we have Kelly Coulter from 2 to 3. She rocks I call them Atlantean life and birth cards. But I think I'm the only one that calls them Atlantean, because then Ron said they should be mermaid cards, because I think Atlantis was surrounded by water. So Kelly, you'll have to answer us on that one, and don't unmute yourself. Anyway, hi, everyone. I just want to say that I love astrology. It really ties the science as well as the cosmos and spirit together. It actually is a roadmap of our life and our death, actually, and our past lives. So it's the coolest thing you could ever have done, ever see, and we have glimpses of it here. Also, the sky tells us a lot, the moon, the stars, the sun, all of the planets. It's so hard for me to understand, but being with Ron as long as I have, I maybe know what Jupiter does, and I actually know the color that Cancer and Saturn both rock. So see, I've learned just a little bit. But anyway, before I say hello to Ron and we actually get into talking, I do want to tell you that please like us on Blog Talk Radio. Tell your friends about us. Follow us. You'll be able to get information on our shows. And you know that everything that we do is on archive. So if you can't listen and you want to get back or you loved it and want to share it, please do that. You can get a hold of me at Bonnie Mosenter Albers. And my girlfriend, Janie, who I see on and is going to listen because we know what's coming up for Janie, she knows me as Bonnie Mosenter. The Albers came later. Anyway, please like me. I will share all of my shows with you at the beginning of the week, and you'll get to see some really cool things on my Facebook. Also, I am right in the middle of redoing my .com, so I don't want to give you my website yet. And the best way to get a hold of me, if you really want to get a hold of me, I'm a nurse, I'm a counselor, I'm a life coach. I specialize in love, romance, relationship, and sexual issues. And that's on my physical realm. On the spirit realm, I am a spirit psychic medium. I rock spirit and love it, and that's the most. And I do incorporate it both in my practice. And you can get a hold of me at balbers714, my birthday, and Ron's birthday, at AOL.com. Ron and I both rock the same birthday, 714, and that's coming up. I won't tell you what that meant in the 70s, because if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. But hi, Ron.
Hello there, Bonnie. Good day to you, and hello, everyone.
We are, let me just, I gotta do my birthday here, 7/14, and that's your birthday. Like, how cool is that, Ron?
Yes, it is.
And it is coming up, and I do want to tell you, Ron's going to talk about a few things today, and they're going to be really interesting, but I do want to tell you why I have a bone to pick with you, Ron.
Go ahead.
I have Jupiter in my first house of expansion. And I am telling you, no matter what I put in my mouth, I am expanding, and I don't like it. So I want Jupiter out of – I don't mind it sitting in the first house because then it also gives you everything else that has to deal with the first house. I just don't want it to sit there with the expansion of weight.
Well, that's the bone of contention for so many now born under Cancer. Because Jupiter is the planet that is associated with largeness and weight gain. As many nice things as we think about that planet, it is the planet of gaining weight. I can understand that even those who don't have it in the first house may be putting on more pounds. However, we have until July 15th, and on that day, Jupiter says goodbye to Cancer and enters the sign of Leo. So then that becomes a Leo problem then, and Cancers have a much greater sense of thinning down and getting that planet behind them. Now, it's very lucky in Cancer for Cancerians in many ways, just like you said, but one of the side effects, especially in the first house, the house of the physical body, is size expansion.
Well, get it out. Get it out, Ron. Pick it out of that first house and put it in my second house or my 11th house, actually my 8th house. Please, I can't take it here anymore. And, you know, I'm just thinking about this, but, you know, we usually spend our birthdays together. We did do a dinner for our birthday because I'm not going to be home. But you know what? There goes the birthday cake because, I mean, the day before Jupiter gets out of my house of expansion, I'm going to be eating birthday cake, and that's only going to be more stuff to put on my hips. I cannot take it. I can't wait till it goes. Please pick it out of that house and put it somewhere else.
Well, one good thing about this is we could have the birthday celebration after Jupiter gets into Leo and leaves Cancer, which is July 15th and later.
Oh, Oh, that sounds like a good idea. And I'm going to tell you, and I know that you're not going to do her till the second half of the show, but and do her doesn't mean it's, you know, badly. But Janie is also a Cancer, which is so cool because we're going to get into Cancer, Cancer birthdays, and whoa, is this girl a Cancer. So I know Janie's listening, and she's a very, very close and dear and very old friend of mine, not chronologically, but chronologically. Sorry, Janie. But anyway, I just want to let you know that I do see you on board, and Ron's got a lot to talk about. So here we have a great show for you. Ron, what do you I know that you want to first tell everybody how to get a hold of you and what you do, because I think that leads into what you were telling me you'd like to tell everybody.
Yes. Yes. Your sound faded a little bit. I can hear you, but it faded. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, fine. To reach me, folks, you need to email me at livingastro@aol.com. That's livingastro@aol.com. And that's the way to connect with me to set up an appointment for an astrological session. In fact, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about, Bonnie, with you and with everyone today, is the parameters of correct astrological sessions. Now, what do I mean by that? Over the weekend, I talked to someone who is a psychic reader, and she said one of her clients came to see her for a session and told her about a bad experience she had with an astrologer. And here's what this experience was. The astrologer was charging $800 for the reading. It had to be paid in cash. And when the reading was going on, yes, the woman took it and paid for it. The astrologer never showed the woman the chart. And when the woman asked to see the chart, she refused to show her. And it ended up being a really bad experience. Now,
Wow. This
is why I want to mention this over the air. It's very important, folks, to keep some parameters in view here. An astrology reading should not and will not cost $800.
Except
now, they're going
to
cost a bit more, in fact, sometimes quite a bit more than a regular psychic reading because there's a lot of preparation and a lot of details going into the chart. Now, people call me and want a $25 reading, and that's not going to happen because before I even see the client, I spend between 1 to 2 hours setting up the charts, and I set them up by hand because it gives me a sense of flow and insight as to what I'm going to say during the reading. So that takes time. So even before the first word of the reading is said, the charts have to be set up. And then once the chart delineation or reading starts, I spend about 2 to 2.5 hours, approximately 2.5 hours with the client, going over the details and specifics of the chart. So we're talking now 4.5 hours, almost 5 hours of work. And so an astrology reading should run somewhere between $200 to $250, not $800. So please don't ever fall into that trap of paying a huge amount of money. And it should be free to pay in check or cash. You don't have to be forced to be paying in the case of cash, or in some cases even with credit cards. Now, the other thing I want to tell you is when you do an astrology reading, all you provide the astrologer with is your location of birth, your month, day, and year of birth, and your clock time of birth. Do not tell them anything else. You are there to be the client. You are not there to have information milked out of you. And be careful of this also with psychics. Don't let psychics say, well, you look happy, but you're not. Isn't that true? Psychics should never, or astrologers should never be asking you questions. They should be reading or intuitively telling you answers. So be very aware of when someone is using that technique of milking information. Do not ever provide anything to the astrologer. Let them tell you what they see in your chart about your career, your personality, your finances, your marriage, your children, or all the other, your health, all the details that the chart goes into and more. Because
that's what
the delineation is needed for. Now, you're not going to get a reading for a price like you can with an intuitive, but you're going to get a very comprehensive, complete reading, and you are to be given the charts. So be very cautious of people that won't let you see their charts or your charts or give them to you. And another thing is if they make an issue about recording, I would also be careful because it is not, I think, a professional thing to do a reading and let a client just take notes. I think it should be recorded and it should be properly delivered to the client so they can listen to it and review it at any time later. And I just wanted to mention this because there are parameters in doing an astrology reading that are different. And this is why when someone calls up and says, well, like today, I'm a Gemini born today, what's going to happen in the next year? The astrologer really has to have the work prepared and the chart in front of them to give you that answer. And they just can't intuitively say it unless they are an intuitive astrologer, in which case they'll have to tell you, I'm going to describe to you what I'm feeling intuitively. I have no astrological data to back this up, just what my intuitive hunches tell me.
Well, you don't want
to
hear something.
So I wanted to share that with everyone because I was a little put back, Bonnie, and everyone when I heard about this reading being $800.
Well, I'll tell you, Ron. I've got to tell you
Bonnie,
something.
I can't hear you. Please excuse me, folks. Can I call right back in? I think we've lost connection.
Yes. Well, I can hear
you. Okay, I'm going to call right back.
Okay. Can everybody hear me? Can you hear me out there in the ether? Can you hear me? Okay, Kelly, I'm looking for you to hear me. Let me unmute Janie and see if she hears me. Janie, can you hear me, girlfriend?
Very well.
Okay.
As usual.
Well, until Ron gets back, I'll talk to you. Janie, I got to talk because I wasn't able to talk. Wait, oh, maybe that's him coming in. Wait, okay. So I'll talk to you soon, girlfriend. Hold on.
Sorry, you were faded out to the point where it was like a faint muffle. I couldn't hear any words, but I can hear you clearly now, Bonnie.
Oh, perfect. Okay, well, this is what I want to tell you. When I had my chart done by you, what I did, and I think it's a really good idea, I laminated it. So I took it to like a Kinko's and I had it laminated because the time that you took your first breath tells you all about your life patterns, what you did in the last life, and gosh only knows how much you're going to do in this life. So the thing is, if you do have it, because I didn't do that before, and I thought it was a great idea. Now, don't use it as a plate holder or like putting your plates and coffee mugs on it because it's just, oh, you could, but I really loved it, and it sits in my closet so I could look. The second thing I wanted to tell everybody is this. Ron, and I know he will not admit it, and I know, Ron, you don't want me to say it probably, but Ron, he does his readings by hand, but he also, and he will probably not rock this with you, is intuitive. So when he does see things in your chart, you are so lucky because not only does he is the best astrologist that I ever came across, and I have many that I have come across, but he also, if he chooses to, we'll look at it intuitively. So I love that because you get two in one. And actually what his reading is so reasonable because he spends so much time with you. Anyway, I don't want to talk too much more about this, Ron, because I think people are interested in like the stars, moon, sky, and all that stuff before I go crazy and sing Aquarius. And I know we're going to have a lot of people logging out if I do that. So I know that you had a few things you wanted to talk to us about the sky. What would you like to, because I remember us talking about a few things, and you know I'm real interested in Mercury being retrograde. I have had so many problems with my computers, and so has a lot of people. And we've actually had people say that psychically they've had bad connections also in the ethers. So it's really crazy on this Mercury retrograde. And I know we have a full moon coming up and we have the summer solstice. So we've got a lot of things we want to cover before we pick up Janie. So can you pick one and start talking?
Let's talk about Mercury retrograde. That's going to be on till July 1st. I wish I could say goodbye to it now, but through June 30th, it's retrograde. And then as the new month starts, the retrograde is over. And it has been frustrating. I knew someone who just had a four-hour delay in their plane flight. I know so many people who've had glitches in their electronics, computers, and everything you could mention, just like you said. It is a very erratic and up and down roller coaster-like energy. It can particularly affect the mind. It could make it harder to sometimes express oneself or get the exact wordings out that they want to convey to others. Others may misunderstand and hear something different than what they're really saying. So it is a very unusual energy. But once we reach July, we do not have to worry, or should I say anticipate, another Mercury retrograde until the 4th of October. And so we have all of July, August, September, and the first 3 days of October free.
I love that, because I'll tell you, Ron, this one really hit me in the electronics department. So, and you know, I yesterday, it's really weird, because Mercury's retrograde, but Mars is direct, or is Mars in retrograde too?
Mars is direct. That stopped in May. And Mercury went retrograde, I believe, June 7th. Let me get the exact day here. June 7th, it turned retrograde. And 2 days later, Neptune went retrograde. But that's not so unusual. Neptune turns retrograde and stays that way about 4 months out of the year. So there's always a long pattern of the outer planets staying retrograde. Well, Pluto, the furthest one out that we know, well, that one stays retrograde 5.5 months. So it's almost half a year direct, half a year retrograde. And Neptune works well retrograde, better than any other planet probably in our solar system, because it enhances intuitive dreams. It enhances deeper meditation. It enhances deeper visualizations when it is retrograde. So we're in that state now with Neptune retrograde. And Mercury is the kicker, though, because that's our day-to-day thinking. That's our communication.
Yeah.
That's how things function and flow.
Well, I will tell you, Ron, I want to also touch really quickly, because I think we are not going to be back here before the summer solstice. And I know I've got Janie on for another, like, 8 minutes that we have to pick Janie up. But the new moon, the summer solstice. But I got to tell you about Mercury retrograde with me, you know, and having Mars direct. Yesterday I told somebody that she thought she was queen energy. And I said, well, honey, I believe we're all queens and paupers at one time, but I don't feel you're rocking queen energy this lifetime, but hey, whatever. And I would never say that. So it kind of was like, what is going on? And I thought, wow, Mercury's retrograde, but Mars is direct, and I'm just really direct, and I'm not that type. I never would say that. I did make it up afterwards by saying, listen, we all don't come here as queens every single lifetime. We all don't come here as gypsies, paupers, you know, beggars all the time either. But we never, ever have come as just one. We always mix it up, because that's how the soul learns. So, okay, now that I've gone into that, and I know that I've got a really eager Janie on the phone, I just want to touch on real quick, and maybe we could do it after the summer solstice, but I know the 21st is summer.
Yes. Every time that the sun lines up with the Tropic of Cancer in the northern hemisphere and is exactly lined up with that, that's when summer starts for us here in the northern hemisphere. Well, this year it's going to be June 21st, and it's going to be around 7:30 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So those of you in the western states keep minusing the hours back to where you are. So it's 7:30 Eastern. Now, what's interesting is that's why we have the longest day of the year in the northern hemisphere, because the sun, should I reword this, the Earth is tilted to align with the sun the most it will ever get for this particular time of the year. And after the 21st of June, the Earth starts slowly tilting more and more away from the sun in the northern hemisphere, and the sun directly lines up more and more in a southern position until it crosses the equator and is lined up with the equator at the beginning of autumn. And then we go into winter for us, and then the sun gets lined up with the southern hemisphere. So for in the southern hemisphere, they're starting winter, and we're starting summer. June 21st, the traditional day that summer starts. Some years it's June 20th, some years it's June 22nd. That can be affected by things like leap year day, but this year it's the traditional June 21st. So 7:30 a.m. Eastern.
And it's bringing in Cancer! Yay!
Yes, it's going to start the sign of Cancer. That's why that tropic is named the Tropic of Cancer, because when the sun lines up directly with that on the Earth's surface, the sign of Cancer starts. There is astrology right in our own life system, our own globe. Then the new moon is shortly after that. June 27th is the new moon, and it's going to be at 5 degrees Cancer, 37 minutes. 5 degrees Cancer, 37 minutes. And this will be at 4:10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So again, those of you in the western part of the country, well, the new moon will be starting closer to midnight or shortly as the day begins on June 27th. That's when the sun and moon will both be in Cancer and they'll line up together.
Well, I love that. And I think we're going to be on the show before that happens and we can talk about it. But it's also the moon of abundance, the new moon of abundance. Make your wishes, everyone. Especially me. I'm going to make my wishes because I'm a Cancer, lined up with Cancer, going to rock Cancer. It's the only time I ever say I'm Cancer. So, but anyway, everybody, this new moon special, it's the first of the summer. It's going to be great, great, great. Get all your wishes, make all your intentions known, and we'll talk about that next week. Ron, I am going to put Janie on because I know she's been chomping at the bit for a week to hear. But before I put her on, because once I put her on, I've got to tell her she can't talk until you're done because she's going to want to, like me, we chat, 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 is this. Everyone, this is a really interesting thing that we are doing, Ron and I. Today we're doing Janie. Next week we've got Janie's husband, Matt. And then the following week we're doing comparison chart so that you can see that you can do this with Ron. If you're married or you have a boyfriend or you have a friend, I did this with Lauren with one of her boyfriends. I'm glad I got rid of him, or she did. But it I'll tell you, it really, really tells you if you are karmically linked, karmically where you are with this person, and this is what you're going to see for the next 3 weeks. And Ron, I wish we could do it with me because you already have my charts, but I promised Janie we were going to do it with her. Then I'm surprised. So I'm going to put Janie on for you. And this is your next victim, Ron. Hi, Janie. Hi, girlfriend. Ooh. Do you know what?
I don't hear anything, Bonnie.
I know because, hi, Janie.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, girl.
You can't hear
well,
me.
Well, I cannot hardly hear you again, Janie, but since I'm going to be doing the talking, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Now, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
We faded out again. See, Mercury retrograde. Bonnie, could you talk to Janie for one more moment and let me redial, because in case there's any reason to intercommunicate between us, I won't be able to hear what anyone is saying to me.
Yes,
okay,
I would love to.
Let me call you back.
I would love to.
Hey,
Janie.
So I'll stay online.
Yeah, you stay online because I can hear you,
okay,
baby. This is really interesting.
I can hear you perfectly. Ron is a little low. His volume's a little low.
Well, I'm going to tell you that I can hear him perfectly, too. But, again, go into archives. It is saved. It'll be on my webpage. My Facebook. You need to click it onto yours or go into the archives, and I'll teach you how, because this is something you want to keep. Keep the next three
years.
Yeah,
teach me how, because I went on this. Okay, I went into somebody else's talk radio, and it was not you.
Well, you know what? I have Kelly in chat. Kelly, I'm going to give Janie. I think Kelly's on board. She sees your number, and she'll give you a call and walk you through it if Kelly will do that for me. It's so sad, Janie, because here poor Kelly is a co-host. She's an excellent card reader, and here I use her. Oh, Kelly will do this, and Kelly will do that. But if it wasn't for Kelly, I don't think we would have a mechanical show. So I want to shout out to Kelly there that I love you, girlfriend. You know, I couldn't rock the show without you. And if you teach Janie how, then we've got another listener. So I'm going to pick Ron up. I think I see Ron down here. Ron, is that you? Ron? Oh, no, I muted him.
It's really
Ron?
Weird, Bonnie.
Okay.
The show is very faint. I don't know why it's faint today.
Well, I can hear both of you perfect.
Okay.
Wait, Ron, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, but in case it fades out again, I won't be able to hear what anyone's asking me or commenting on. So I guess I should just start talking.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm pretty quiet for half an hour.
Oh, my gosh. You think I'm bad. Janie, I don't know how she's going to do it, but go ahead, Ron.
All right, I'm going to just try. It's getting more faint, but that's Mercury retrograde, I guess. And this has never happened in past shows. All right. Janie, in your chart, you are born at the new moon. You've got your sun and moon in Cancer, and you've got three placements as far as planets in the sign of Cancer.
Wait,
there's
an echo. I can't hear one thing.
I can't hear anything.
That is so strange. Let me.
Bonnie, put it on speaker, honey.
No, here. Hello? You want me to call back in? Let me see if I mute myself, if it's better. I'm going to mute myself, and you tell me if this is better.
Okay.
All right, let me try doing this.
I'm going to call on another phone line.
Maybe that will make the difference. Please excuse me one more time, and I'll call right back.
Okay.
Well, you know, Kelly, I need you. Can you unmute? Here, I'm going to unmute Kelly. Kelly, girl, what's going on? Do you have any idea?
Well, gee, I'm going to echo Ron. I think it's that Mercury retrograde. But, you know, Jamie, do you have your speaker on, or are you?
I don't have my speaker on, but you're still an echo. Bonnie's not an echo. You're an echo.
Yeah, because, Bonnie, you know, when you were off, it didn't echo.
And I don't call. It's really weird because I call. It's so weird.
I can hear you now, Bonnie. You're saying it's so weird.
Okay. Go ahead, Janie. Do you hear me? Okay. So
everyone's coming through clearly. I hope I am.
Oh, God.
Okay, Ron, you show up.
Nobody
else will show up unless I can't hear you.
Go ahead.
All right. Janie, you've got three planets in the sign of Cancer. Mercury, Sun, and Moon. And you've got three planets in the sign of Leo, Uranus, Pluto, and Jupiter. So your chart is a classic combination of Cancer, Pluto, Cancer, Leo energies. At the time of your birth, daylight saving time was in effect. And if you've had a reading in the past and they gave you a Leo ascendant, they forgot or incorrectly forgot to take into consideration daylight saving time, and when it is correctly applied, your rising sign or ascendant is also Cancer. So you've got the sun, the moon, and the ascendant all in Cancer. Your moon is 4 degrees Cancer, your sun 15 degrees Cancer, and your ascendant 26 degrees Cancer. Now, to be a triple, you have to be born on the day of the new moon, sun and moon sitting together, and be born in approximate energy to sunrise so that those energies are coming up over the horizon, making you sun, moon, and ascendant all in the same sign. This gives you a great degree of feelings and emotions. You are a deeply feeling person. You're also very intuitive. Your hunches and your feelings are spot on and right on. You have great compassion for people and great empathy because you've got six planets in water signs. In water signs, again, you've got Mercury, Moon, Sun, the planet Saturn and Scorpio, and Mars in Pisces. The average person has two or three planets in water. You've got six. So this makes you a highly gifted person with feelings. Your soul is working on emotional water energy sign placements in this lifetime.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Am I being off the phone now?
No, I can't hear you. Bonnie, did you do something with the speaker?
I'm trying to go in, and I'm going to call back, so you keep talking.
You know what, Ron? I think it's you, honey. I think you need to mute, because I'm hearing an echo, and I can't understand anything.
I'm going to call back. So go ahead and continue. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ron.
Go ahead.
All right. Janie, am I having an echo now?
No, you're fine.
Okay, then it is just what you said. You've got so many planets in water. The average human being in the world has two, maybe three, and you have six. So that means, again, your soul is working in this lifetime as Janie with the energy of feelings. emotions, compassion, empathy, sensoriness, sensitivity to energies, intuitive hunches, feelings, vibrationary feelings. You are very gifted psychically, whether you ever do psychic readings or not. You don't have to go that point of doing psychic readings, but you could. You've got the type of chart that is very orientated towards feelings and sensing. There is a very fascinating combination in charts of people that have a lot of Leo and a lot of Cancer placements. Again, remember, you've got Uranus, Jupiter, and Pluto in Leo, and you've got Mercury, Moon, and Sun in Cancer. Those are both parental signs. One, Cancer addresses life and their family through the maternal female mothering instinctual role, and Leo addresses life through the paternal fathering father-parent role. So both signs are parental. And to have six placements in those two signs means that you can be very close to children. You can have a gift with children. You can have a gift even with other people's children. You have an instinct to know how to connect into and with children. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be disciplining of them, but it means that you've got an instinct, a strong instinct for that capacity and feeling. But the big issue, Janie, is you've got Uranus in your first house, 1 degree, 31 minutes Leo. It was in the house of the physical self. And that is always the planet of being the individualist, the rebellious one, the one that marches to the beat of their own drummer, the one that is inventive, the one that comes up with the inventive way to do something. It's the planet that is the most futuristic. And that's very odd because Cancer, which you have so many placements in, thinks in the past, likes the past, has traditional feelings, gets attached to things and has sentimental feelings about those things and always remembers when. But Uranus says, look to tomorrow, look to 5 years from now, look to 10 years from now, look to what's coming up. And so there is an interesting conundrum in this chart because there is that strong Cancerian past connectiveness with feelings and memories. And I'll tell you, with Mercury in Cancer, you've got the memory that's extraordinary. You can go back and say, remember when 18 years ago we were in this restaurant and you wore this color and he wore that color and you ordered this and I ordered that and this is what we talked about. You can have that memory that's incredible, detailed, because that energy, Mercury, the mind planet, is in the sign that relates to past connections. But what about that Uranus? How could this be kind of sewed together in the chart? People with Uranus in the first house are originators. They're the ones who are the ones to come up with the first idea about something or the invention about something. If something is reaching a point where everyone's scratching their head going, well, we don't know what to do with this. We don't know how to solve this. We don't know how to address this. Let you step into the picture and you'll say, here's what you're not seeing. Do this. Here's the point that could be solving that issue, because you're very good in coming up with original breakthrough insight that just goes right over the head of other people that they don't get or connect with. You also could be a very good self-employed person, own your own business, or work in a partnering with someone where you have a lot of freedom in making decisions, because Uranus is always the planet that says, I need a certain amount of freedom. I need a certain amount of, you know, personal input into things. I don't like to just sit in a corner, in a desk, in a company, and be one of the masses of workers. I need to have my originality expressed. And it's the planet of liberty. And by the way, you might find this interesting, Janie, in our own country, which is the same sign that you're born under, the U.S., when the Declaration of Independence was being signed, the moment the first signature, John Hancock, was going down on the piece of paper, planet Uranus was exactly rising over the horizon. And that's why the United States has always been a country of being inventive, of being leadership-orientated, but also of giving people freedom or the feeling of freedom, and everyone wants to come here for that individualness and freedom of expression. You've got that same energy that is endowed in the U.S. Constitution in our country in your birth chart.
Wow.
So I'm wondering, this is just a wondering, I'm not saying this is in cement. But I'm wondering if you were not in some way connected to the founding fathers of this country, the founding people, the beginning liberty and establishment of this country in its original colonial state. And it also could be connected to, and I'm not going to mention anything, but it could be connected to locations of where you lived in your life, too. Now, what else does this mean? It means you're an idea person. You've got the ability to think from the past how something has worked, had worked, established itself, and then you get the idea about how you could either evolve it or change it for present day, contemporary times, or futuristic directions. And you can be quite an inventor, and don't be afraid of that inventive side within you. But it can give you a restlessness, Uranus in the first house, and it can give you a sense of sometimes having difficulty calming down your mind when you go to sleep because it keeps thinking, because Uranus is like an electrical energy. It works with frequency vibrations. And sometimes it can be, people with Uranus in the first house sometimes need meditation, or they need certain mantras, or they need certain breathing exercises to just calm down their mind. Interestingly enough, I want to tell you, since this planet deals with frequency vibrations, you will be very sensitive to frequency energies. For example, if you walk into a department store and they use those certain high frequency tones, maybe as burglar detectors, you can hear them. You can pick up on them. You could hear that high whine or squeal where some other people may not even be aware of it. You can pick up on frequency vibrations more than most people, and that's due to the sensitivity of attunement of having this planet in your first house. Now, you've got Jupiter and Pluto aligned, sitting together next to each other in the house of money, Pluto 26 Leo and Jupiter 29 Leo. This is wonderful because those are wealth-producing planets. Those are planets that give power to achieve in the financial directions and directives in life. I'll have to share with you, although it's not necessarily the same year you're born, but the wealthiest people on our planet and have Jupiter conjunct Pluto, and the founder of Microsoft does. And also, he has it conjunct in Leo, Bill Gates. He has Jupiter conjunct Pluto in his birth chart. And you could see how financially direct it's been helpful in his life. You've got the type of chart in which you were in either an immediate life before this or in fairly recent past lives deprived of finances and deprived of personal choice, deprived of freedom of choice. And in this life, freedom of choice, expression, independent way of view is very important for you. And there is a certain amount of financial remuneration that will come your way in this life because in a past life, probably the most immediate past life before this one, it was a life of either poverty or a life of some types of limitations. Mm-hmm. Now, career-wise, you've got Aries on your career house, 10 degrees Aries, and that's always, Janie, an indication of someone who, again, has a great degree of energy input into what they do or whatever job they get into, has a lot of energy into it. They're often a motivator. They're often a good speaker. They're often a good business leader, conductor. They're often good at motivating people with, you know, spirit in this drive and get up and go. Mars is the ruler of Aries, and it falls in Pisces in your career house, in your chart. And Pisces is the sign of two fish going in two different directions. So that means you would either function in two separate ways, like wearing more than one hat in the kind of job you are in, or you could be working in two or more jobs because of this multiplicity of the ruler of your career house falling in Pisces. You would be very good with medical work. You'd be very good with children. Be very good with work that could involve being the business leader, the industrialist, planning, coming up with ideas, laying blueprints for the future. You've got that kind of pattern in this chart. However, Mars in Pisces can also give issues health-wise with the feet. Pisces rules the toes, ankle, arch, heel, instep, and the foot itself. And when people have Mars in Pisces, they could have issues with pain in their feet, cramping in their feet, feet getting very warm, very cold, changes in the feet, and many times this is the placement that is best needed for foot massage therapy or taking off shoes and walking on fresh grass or putting them right up against the sand or soil of Mother Earth, because Pisces is the that rules the feet of the body, and that's where we can dump toxic energy, anger, and negativity out through our feet into the ground. And also, if you move to another location, you could pick up through Mother Earth, through the soil, through the grass, through the things your feet are on, the healing energy that our planet could provide. So your feet are great health relieving points of toxins and stress. With this type of chart, if you get in a stressful situation or overly angered or things just reach almost a boiling point, I would highly recommend you do one of two things. Either immediately soak your feet in some tub with some kind of maybe solvent or Epsom salts or something in it, or if that's winter, if it's summer or in the warmer time of the year, go outside and immediately take off any shoes and covering on the feet and put your feet directly on the ground or on grass, and you will be surprised what an incredible change that would be. It's also good to put your feet into water, like the ocean, a lake, a swimming pool, but just dangling your feet into the edge of a swimming pool is good, or with the ocean, because Mars is in the sign that is also connected to water, Pisces the fish. You've got Saturn, the other placement that often can give health issues, in Scorpio. And that deals with toxic elimination of the body. And Saturn in Scorpio can give issues of sensitivity with the lower GI tract, and it gives also sometimes sensitivities with the bladder and the urinary tract and the tubules with the kidneys. People with Saturn in Scorpio may not realize this, but their body will require more fluids, more liquids, more water, more teas, more juices to ingest and keep flowing through their body than the average person. And one of the things I found is they'll say, well, I drink plenty of water, I drink enough, I'm fine, but they actually require more fluid ingestion, because otherwise, to flush that out through the kidneys, through the tracts that we mentioned, otherwise they could sometimes have irritations or sensitivities in those areas. Now, Saturn is in your house of children, which is very interesting, because that's a business planet, and like I said a few minutes earlier, you could work in some kind of job connected to family planning, children, work with the education and knowledge, acknowledgement of children and young people, but mostly when Saturn is in the house of children, it means in a past life, poor or not, and this chart shows poverty and not having a lot of freedom, there was a large family, there was a lot of children, there was a lot of family overriding connective duty boundness. And sometimes when Saturn's in the fifth house, a person who has it there can be very protective of their own children, overly protective or overly cautious, and they're often a good parent because they're a disciplinarian parent. They're not afraid to tell a child no, and they're not afraid to put limitations out there for a child to have. Now, you and I have some things in common. We both have Venus in Gemini, Mercury in Cancer, and Sun and Moon in Cancer. We have that same thing. And I've studied Venus in Gemini. And when Venus sits in Gemini, that's the planet of relationships, marriage, love, partnering. It's very, very, very important for a person who has that to have dialogue, communication, open talking, expressions with their spouse. Gemini is Mercury's sign. And as we talked about earlier, Mercury deals with words and ideas and concepts and talking and verbiage and communication. It's the sign that deals with how one expresses
itself. I can't hear you at all, Ron.
I can't hear you, Ron.
I can't hear you at all. Can you call
Are you
back?
Going, am I going out too now?
No, now you're good.
Okay.
Can you want me to call back?
No, go ahead, Ron.
I think you're good.
Okay, great. I think you're good. Venus in Gemini, when someone has that in their chart, they cannot...
Ron,
wait,
I can't hear you.
They need dialogue. They need...
Ron?
Wait,
Ron,
you're gone.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, Dave.
Well,
bye,
they got
Ron.
You because... Yes.
Ron, wait, you are gone.
Ron, we don't hear
Ron,
you.
Ron, can you call back on the other number and see if that works better?
All right, I'll try that. Okay, hold on.
All right, Janie?
I'm here. I'm loving this.
I know. I see. And you, if you would, I hate to say this, but if you would have a reading with him, it's almost 3 hours, you would find out everything. I mean, that's what I do once a year. Actually, I do it every 6 months for an update. But when I did my main chart, he's amazing.
Yes.
You will not, there won't be one thing he can't show you in that chart, even to the point of who your spouse is, how you got to your spouse. I mean, it's just so amazing.
This
here,
is
okay.
Really amazing. He's right on about everything so far.
Oh, he always is. Okay, Ron, go ahead, babe. Go ahead.
One thing that I noticed, Janie, when people have Venus in Gemini like you have, they can often have a marriage partner that doesn't show their age. They could come from a family that ages slower or less obvious. They could sometimes look 2 years, 5 years, 10 years younger than their age would belie. And they often have remarkable dexterity with fingers and hands. They could be very good when it comes to physical manual dexterity or playing a musical instrument where they have quick finger and hand movements. But they also can come from a family of long-lived people, which is interesting. So I have not set up the chart of your spouse, but Venus in Gemini tells me a little bit about him. Communication is extremely important. If you had a one-word man, that would be the first step to break up a relationship. Dialoguing, words, talking, discussing, very important, more so than most every person because of the Venus in Gemini. But the thing is, your spouse can also work more than one job because I noticed that when Venus is in Gemini, the ruler of marriage and marriage partnering, many times the person will connect with someone who can be in more than one job or hold more than one positionary title in the work that they're in. So the other thing is Venus in Gemini gives you a love of books, of libraries, of bookstores, of places where books are on sale. Venus in Gemini gives this from childhood on. You've always, if someone gave you a book in your childhood, your eyes would just light up. They were just treasures you would prize. You also have great communicationary ability with writing, and I haven't said that yet, but Venus is a source of money. Venus rules money. It rules coins and bills and where money are made, like monetary mints. And so people who have Venus in Gemini always have the seed power inside of them to be a good author, to be a good teacher, a good communicator, because Venus in Gemini gives book loves. I've seen people with Venus in Gemini have huge libraries of books, and even though we're making a transition in the world today from hard copy books to e-books, either way, Venus in Gemini gives you a great love of reading and a great love of interaction with books. This is because a lot of things that are rooted in this life are because they were restricted to you in past lives. I see in your immediate past life restriction of money, big family, many, many children, a lot of children, overtures of working with children, and restriction in education and books and exposure to these types of things, as if you were living in an isolated, rural, agrarian part of the world where you didn't have the opportunity to leave that land or that region or that area for education or to explore other parts of the world. That was necessary for your soul then, but now in this life, you're rewarded financially. You're rewarded with talent, with capacities with children or other people's children, and you're rewarded with your great love of reading, learning, and acquiring insight and knowledge. Now let's go on. Neptune is in your fourth house. Now, that's the area of the chart that deals with where you live, your home. And it's really very good for you to live right on water, within view of water, have a place with a swimming pool, something that deals with aqueous energy. So people with Neptune in the fourth house many times have a beachfront place, or if not, it could be a second place, a place that's within view of water, like I said, or by a river, a lake. Because Neptune is connected to the waters of the world. He was, in mythology, the king of the oceans, of the seas. And people that have Neptune in that fourth house, that's very good for that. However, this is one thing we often don't hear astrologers mention, but it's very true. In moving to new places, to a new house, unless you build it yourself, you have to be very cautious so that that place does not have a spirit, a haunting, or a haunting residue energy left behind from previous tenants, because Neptune is often connected to earthbound spirits or spirits of that area. And if you build a new house, be sure that the land has not had anything connected with it before where any earthbound spirits could be on that property, such as burial grounds or Native American sacred places. Because with Neptune in the fourth house, to even from ground one building a place, you can sometimes have spirit energies already attached to that land that enters and becomes part of the property. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying that there can be a lot of sensitivity to spirit vibrations. Now, that's another thing. When you go to visit people's houses, you go to visit them in other locations, if there is any type of spirit haunting residue or remaining spirit of someone of that family that's died, that's returning or coming back, you'll be one of the first people to sense it, pick it up and feel it. Even if some members of the family themselves don't feel it, you could be very tuned in to it. And so going into buildings, whether it is your own home, somebody else's home, a restaurant, a workplace, you're very sensitive to energies that are in that environment. And you can be very sensitive to earthbound spirits. You could be a very good worker in a kind of a quiet, out-of-the-way second job to help earthbound spirits get released and go up and away from the places that they may be at. Now, this may sound very strange to you, but it's part of the chart's pattern and connection with energy.
That's why she's friends with me.
Well, that could make sense, Bonnie. You could be the harbinger for this.
That's
now,
right.
Now, remember, Cancer is a water sign. Leo is a fire sign. Now, together, they are not supposed to mix, but they do in some ways. Cancer is ruled by the moon. Leo is ruled by the sun, and we know the sun and moon have this wonderful, natural, symbiotic relationship in the universe or solar system, number one. Number two, Cancer is the mothering side. Leo is the fathering side. Both are paternal, so they connect that way. And number three, there is a power when you combine Cancer and Leo. Traditionally, it produces steam, water, fire, steam comes out of it. And this doesn't mean steam in a negative way, although sometimes that can produce temper. Cancer is not this meek, mild sign that a lot of people represent them to be. I'll tell you, I read some astrology books, and they'll say, oh, they stay at home, they don't get mad, they want to hold everyone to their breast and nurture them.
That ain't me.
They're not. They can get very angry, they can get very assertive, they can get very powerfully demanding, especially when the moon, which is their ruler, is going through a fiery sign. They can be very fiery because you'll be very sensitive to the moon signs, changes in placements from the days as days move on, being so many placements in Cancer, but especially with the sun and moon there. But what I'm trying to tell you is it's okay to express your temper or come out and be assertive because you've got that Leo side to the nature. You're really a very strong combination of Cancer and Leo, with the emphasis being a little stronger on Cancer. So when you put fire and water together and get steam, steam can be used to get things moving, get things action-orientated. Power comes out of that combination. And you do not have a weak chart. You have just the opposite of it. You've got a very powerful chart. And you're powerful in other people, motivating them, powerful in getting words and ideas to other people, powerful in the communication ways that you connect and interpolate to other people. Now, health-wise for your marriage partner, I mentioned a little bit about the fingers and hands, but more or less the knees and knee joints, bones and bone joints, those are issues that run in his family. There can be a lot of arthritic problems, knee issues, teeth issues that could be genetically inherited down the line with his family, because Capricorn rules all those areas of the body, and that's the sign that's sitting on your marriage house. As I said, I haven't done his chart yet, but I'm only basing it on what your chart tells me. Jupiter rules your house of health, house number six. Now, that is very positive for this reason. that gives you the ability to have remarkable healing power. No matter what kind of health condition, health situation, or health diagnosis one is given, or one is seen by a medical observer, you have great power to heal, to regenerate, to get over it, to move on with your life, because Jupiter is the planet that works like a guardian angel looking out for us. And having Sagittarius there, you've got great recuperative ability that some doctors and medical workers may not understand. How in the world did you get through this? How in the world did you suddenly have something and then a while later it's not there anymore? What did you do? Well, your body has an inner natural regenerative power that isn't always there in other people's bodies, and you have a tremendous immune system. So that is due to Sagittarius Jupiter energy. Wherever we have Jupiter, yes, we have luck. Yes, we have a certain amount of oversight protection. Yes, we have like a guardian angel looking on that area, but we have the ability to expand from one situation to something else. And in this case, it could be from a negative health condition, not could be, would be, from a negative health condition to a positive health condition.
Wow.
And a positive is also this combination of Leo and Cancer, because Cancer is the moon, Leo is the sun. You were born with the sun and moon sitting next to each other in the same sign. So you were born with the ruler of Leo in Cancer, and you were born with the ruler of Cancer in Cancer sitting right next to each other, and you've got that Leo-Cancer combination. No matter how much you look at this chart, 6 planets out of 10 are in Cancer and Leo. The only ones that are not are Venus in Gemini, Mars in Pisces, Saturn in Scorpio, and Neptune in Libra. So 4 planets out of 10, calling the sun and moon planets for convenience, 4 planets are not in Cancer or Leo. So your chart has this tremendous symbiotic relationship. And out of all fire-water combinations in the zodiac, the 2 that get along, the 2 that have an interconnection with each other are Leo and Cancer. Because
Yay!
One is the moon and one is the sun. Well, see, your Leo gives you the ability to be a good leader and to be a powerful leader and to make and derive in powerful decisions and be even in a certain amount of position of powerful energy. But your Cancer side always means that subliminally and inwardly, you have this nurturing maternal instinct that you get very nurturing towards friends. You get nurturing. You don't let it get too strong, though. You don't become overly mothering, but you do have this nurturing maternal instinct from all that Cancer qualities. And being a double Cancer, you can't help but being that way. You know, I've been just jabbing on and on, Janie. Let's go into any questions you might have.
This was mind-blowing. It was wonderful. It was. I did have one other astrological reading many, many years ago when my husband and I first got married. It didn't even compare to this. It was just, you're amazing. I mean, you were, I don't think I disagreed with one, with anything that you said. And I've never been so quiet for this long. Like, I'm exhausted from being so quiet.
Hey, wait a minute.
It was very energizing.
Well, there are
really
a couple of things I want to add to this, Janie, that I didn't mention. And that is you have absolutely no earth sign placements at all. Earth signs are Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus, and there aren't any planets in those 3 signs at all in this chart, and there's nothing like an ascendant or rising sign there. It is 0. Well, that tells me that somehow before this lifetime, before your lifetime as Janie, you were interconnected with the earth, you were interconnected with the soil, you were in some kind of farming-like environment where you depended on the seasons and the crops and the plantings and the ground and the farming to sustain you. And that also goes along with being in a location very isolated from other areas of the world in a very agrarian area, farming, traditional farming, land being inherited from generation to generation, many, many children to help and grow up there, but not sophisticated in the worldly sense, not sophisticated with money or a lot of money, and not sophisticated with traveling. Or this is how your chart is benefiting you now. That you've gone now. You've gone through that life. You've experienced that life. That was the energy of your past life. It is okay, and it's supposed to be, financially rewarding and remunerative in this life. It is very important for you to have this interconnection with books and knowledge and reading and interactions in bookstores and libraries, because your past life didn't afford you that at all. It's important for you to be the independent breakthrough idea person, because back then you were very much in the traditional way of the wife or the husband. I can't tell which, but I'm going to say with the double cancer, the wife and the bearing of children and the family and the raising in the traditional way, and then seeing them do the same thing going on toward the next generation, but no one really leaving, no one really going to other parts of the world. And this is very important for your soul to have a certain amount of internationalness and a certain amount of capacity, and that's why you had the fire and water mix, to be sure that isn't going to be just keeping you in one place, but to keep your mind open to grow and expand with energy, but still that nurturingness still so strong from the past life, that nurturing Cancerian moon-like energy still stays with you with the double Cancer.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes,
I can hear you.
Well, honey, you're so worried. This is like your biggest fear, that we don't hear you. We hear you, honey.
I know. Yeah, wait a minute. Was she not a triple Cancer, Ron, or am I mistaken?
Yeah, triple Cancer. What I think might have happened, Janie, is in the past somebody may have set up the chart and forgot that they had to interact
Eastern.
With daylight saving time.
Yeah, yeah.
When daylight saving time is in effect for any city, place, or state, you have to actually adjust whatever time they give you by 1 hour, because you are given – if you set up the chart for the time they actually give you and don't adjust for daylight saving time, your chart will be 1 hour off.
Okay.
Because we artificially change the clocks for daylight saving time.
Okay, I got you.
And
I understand.
Also British time. And if you didn't change that, you'd have Leo rising, but you actually have Cancer rising, 26 degrees Cancer, which means you've got Sun, Moon, and Ascendant in Cancer. Only 3 days a year. And only about a couple of hours of each of those days is it possible to be a triple Cancer.
Wow.
And this year
Incredible.
It'll be June 27th, 28th, and 29th if a person is born right at or near sunrise. The Sun, Moon, and Ascendant will all be in the same sign.
Wow. Isn't that like
That's
incredible?
Amazing.
But wait, I got to say something.
Sure.
say, You know, Ron, we have been friends since we're three, okay, and our mothers were best friends. But I've got to tell you, I rock six planets in Leo, and I've got a couple Cancers, and I have no Earth signs either. I think I have one, don't I, which I hate. Take it out. But, you know, isn't that
you, I think you're right. You know what?
Wow.
You and Janie, although you have them in slightly different ways of expressing themselves, you and Janie have very similar charts then.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe Harvey's your daddy, Fun.
I don't think so. Maybe my dad is your dad.
I'm kidding.
But I have to tell you, Janie is a delight. I love her. She's very artistic, Ron. You know nothing about her, but she's a calligrapher, so she writes all the time. And that was her career, part of her career. And the other thing is, she always swore she could be a doctor because she was very medically attuned. And, yeah, she sees spirit all right. She hears her mother. She doesn't like to tell anybody that, but she does. So all of these things that you're saying, and what's really crazy, and I'm just going to say this because he didn't do Susie, but Susie, myself, and Janie, this girl, we all three lived on the same block. All three are intuitive. Is that crazy?
How about that? And I wonder if this other friend of yours may be a Cancer, a Leo, or have Leo Cancer planets.
I think she's a Virgo, isn't she, Bon?
No, she's a Taurus. She's totally
Well, there's the Earth coming out.
Yeah,
okay,
she's
there you go.
Too earthy. In fact, she's too earthy. I have to yell at her. She's so too earthy. But anyway.
Yeah, that's so funny. My husband's been listening to this whole reading. I can imagine him shaking his head, yep, that's Janie. Oh, my God, that's Janie.
Well
what
Janie,
happens is when one really understands the basic foundation of how signs at work, how they express themselves, the signs of the zodiac and how planets work. Actually, with a little bit of study, anybody out there can do this. It is very complicated and really overwhelming at first. I remember my first day in my first class in the astrology college I went to, and I got these books with these detailed figures, and I said, how can I ever learn this? It was overwhelming, but it took a little while. But boy, oh boy, when you understand this, You can do this, or anyone can do this for anyone, because it's simply understanding the value of astrology.
Ron, remember me? I've got to tell you, the thing I don't rock is books, although I do metaphysically, but I couldn't even get through astrology for dummies or idiots. So it takes a certain, a certain type of person that can do that, and you've done it for how many years? I mean, you know, that I couldn't do that. I can't even remember the houses. But go ahead, Jane.
First of all, the thing with the memory, like the recall, like what person, what somebody was wearing, or I mean, my memory is just incredible. The one thing that really stood out about, I have a fear of homelessness. I have a fear of if we go downtown to dinner and we pass somebody that's homeless and has his little bag, you know, his trash bag there with all his belongings, and he hasn't showered and he's sound asleep. I can't walk by him. It breaks my heart. And it's a big fear. It always has been. That's probably because of
part of that is the six water planets, the tremendous emotions and compassion, the humongous amount, because that's way above average. And the more in water, the more those kinds of feelings are there, like you say. However, the other thing was your home and your land were interconnected, farming, agrarian, crops, home. If that home was destroyed by a tornado, a windstorm or something, you would be in an area where you'd have to literally start from ground floor, ground up to rebuild. And that is also where that fear comes from a past life.
That's intriguing.
In other words, you wouldn't be able to just pick up and move to another part of the world, and that it would be the land of the family, and that was everything on that land is traditional. Everything on that land is stable and has been there for a long time in a past life, like a farm is what I'm referring to. And if it were destroyed, the fear of what would we ever do, where would we ever go, would be strong in your mind.
Yes, absolutely. I always say that. I don't know where I would go. I mean, we would go.
And I would have to find another castle, so there would be no way. I mean, I would I'm really sorry.
Another thing I have to tell you, Ron, you were right on about the kids. I mean, I could have had a zillion kids, but my labor and delivery were horrendous. So my husband just said, sit down, let the feeling pass, and we'll get dogs. So and we stopped at two. The communication thing I was very intrigued about too with my husband, but I'm not gonna verbalize that right now. That's really, really important to me. And a lot of times when he doesn't get it, like I'll write him like a 5 to 10 page letter, and then he gets it. And then I feel better.
When Venus is in Gemini and the mentioning of communication is important, a lot of people laugh and shake their heads and say, well, communication is important in any relationship. But they don't understand. Some relationships, the husband could come home, the spouse could say, well, how was your day? Eh. And that was fine. They lasted very well with an eh or a yes or no answer.
That's our
This is not the way it would work with you.
Right. That does not work with me. And I need cuddles, and I need him to communicate in any way he needs to communicate, just to know that I'm here and I'm important and he's important to me, and I want to know about his day, and I want to. And when he just lays in bed, which he doesn't usually, he's very sensitive to that stuff. Then it works. But if that doesn't happen, I can't go on to my next whatever I'm going to do. Even if it's the laundry, even if it's taking the dog out for a walk, I get stuck. So,
well, you know, you have Saturn in your house of children, and Saturn is sometimes described as a limiter or a restrictor. And so not to have children, but to have pets or another way of expressing love through pets, through plants, you know, house plants or gardens, that can be very keyed in. But people with Saturn in the fifth house, it's usually saying to me, the astrologer, they have had or just had a life of being with a huge family. They have had children being everywhere and the focus of that life. And in this life, it is okay and, in fact, fine if they are not going to have children or a large family.
Right.
Because
all I've been talking about lately is grandchildren. My daughter married our wonderful grand, you know, wonderful son-in-law. And I have to keep my mouth shut because I've said enough and they know how I feel. But I cannot wait to the day I'm a grandmother and we're grandparents.
That we're not alike on, Janie.
I know. I mean, I could have come out of my mother's womb as a grandmom.
Well, most cancers are that way. Not only are they delighted when there's a child coming into their life, a blessed event, but they're ready for the second generation of blessed events because there's that nurturing Cancerian mothering, mother goddess energy coming out through them.
That is so cool. That is so cool.
I love it.
Well, listen, you know, before you go, we're now 15 minutes into the next reading.
I know we went longer, but we really had to in a way because, Janie, we had so many interruptions, so I apologize for that.
That's okay.
I was on two different phones, and we still had problems.
Honey, wish you could – listen, Ron, we could put you on, and Kelly, she knows because she loves hearing you. Kelly would acquiesce, so she never minds when you run over because, you know, she'll go over, so it doesn't matter. We have plenty of time. But what's cool is, Janie, now you know because you had friends that wanted to know, and you can give them Ron's information.
Yes, I have a few friends.
Janie, this is only one-eighth of what you would get if he was doing your chart, you know, privately. So the cool news is at least you know how he works and at least you know the basics of your chart. Right, Ron?
Okay. And
well,
we can make arrangements.
Well, one thing I do is I start talking and I just talk for 2.5 hours. And it's just because I'm used to doing it. I'm used to doing it because when I say one thing, I'm seeing the next thing I'm going to say. And then I see the next thing. And I'm looking at the chart constantly and all these next things are lining up like planes on a runway. So I know what I'm going to say next. And that's why, you know, people always say this to me. They'll say, I can't believe 2.5 hours went by. It's just amazing. It actually happened, but it was like we were in a time warp. It always is like that.
Well, do you know what's so funny? The only one that ever did that with you, Ron, was Arthur. Remember Arthur? He shook his leg, and after 2.5 hours, he said, Mr. Ron, I don't think I could sit here anymore. And you got to understand that Arthur's ADD. So to me, that he sat even 2 hours, he was so intrigued by what Ron was saying, and Ron and him are very, very close. So that's the only one I've ever known after 2 hours that was shaking his leg saying he physically couldn't sit there. So,
well, maybe we started to have a cure for this condition by doing astrology readings for these people.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Right.
Sorry, I couldn't resist that.
Well,
I really thank you, Janie, and I can't wait for next week. We'll do your spouse.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait to hear that. Okay. Thank you so much. And, Bonnie, you have all the info. I did write down your email, but...
Did I send it to you, Ron?
Yes, I have the information.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I haven't set it up yet. The reason why, in case I picked up the wrong chart and started reading, I only do the chart of the week, and I have the one for next week in a secure place. So I'll be working on that for next week's show.
Okay. I told him to keep his calendar clear and his phone open. So.
All right. Thank you, Janie.
Okay, that's
pleasure
great.
Meeting
Ron,
you, another fellow double cancer. All right,
thank
bye
you
now.
So much, and I'll be in touch too. Okay.
When I say double cancer, I mean another fellow who has the sun and moon in cancer, which I also have.
I know, and you were born the same day as Bonnie, so I love you automatically.
See, there we go, same day as Bonnie. We have all these
there you go. Thanks again, guys.
Bye.
Goodbye now.
See you soon,
Bonnie.
Thank you, Ron.
Definitely.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Ron, I just want to say thank you. You always go way above and everything. I love you I'm going to say to death, but Susan's on, and she'll say, no, tell him you love him to life. So I love you to
love
life.
Love him to life. Well, I'm grateful to be loved to life. Well,
yeah.
You know, you could see how the Mercury retrograde happened with all the weird phone weird situations, but it started when we had a perfect connection, and then you started fading and fading until I practically couldn't hear a thing. Isn't that weird?
Oh. Listen, it happened 3 or 4 times, and then they told me it was me. I know Susan's on right now, and I know Kelly is sitting here, but Susan will tell you, we've had Mercury retrograde on our show, in our lives. It really, hi, Susan. It really
Hi, Susan. Well, listen, I know people are probably lined up waiting for readings, so I don't want to take up their time because they're all excited for the next section here.
Well, we love you, Ron. Thank you, thank you. We're always, always intrigued and very, very curious as everybody waits bated breath to hear what you're going to say about the sky. So thank you, thank you, and we're honored to have you.
Well, thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Kelly, and thank you, listeners.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye now.
You know what? He just, I mean, can you understand that he is just like, you know, did you hear that, Susan?
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, he's just awesome. But anyway, Kelly's on. Hi, Kel.
Hello, and we had a shout-out in the chat room, and they were saying, Tyron, we love him. It's like going, well, dang, he got off too quick.
Well, you know what? I'm so happy everybody says that because he always wonders because he doesn't take, you know, callers. He will take callers, Kelly, and this is what I wanted to tell you. If you would run chat and then get the questions and then give them to me, Ron will answer them. Or you can actually
Cool.
So that's what he'd like to do, but he can't answer any personal information because he doesn't
right.
have their chart. After Jamie's,
right.
the compatibility, we'll start taking more charts. Anybody in, so start collecting them in chat for anybody that wants them. After the next
cool.
2 weeks, he'll be looking for more charts to do.
I was going to say, I got 5 right off the bat, so okay.
Okay, good. Well, what you have to do is send it to him with the date, Cal. So let's say like
okay.
the next 2 weeks, Janie's husband's next, and then we're going to do a compatibility chart so people see how it works, and then you're free
cool.
to send him. So put the date, and then he saves it, and he'll actually do it that Wednesday. So everybody,
awesome. I love it.
Ron will do it. Yeah, and Ron's fabulous, and you know, he sees famous people. He's got, I mean, I can't even tell you how many people in Orlando that he does that are doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, not that that matters any more than we are. But just to tell you that he's very, very respected in his field. So guess what, Kelly?
What?
You have. Yes. Guess who is your first victim?
Guess who's coming to dinner? Okay.
Hey,
now she lined me up real well, didn't she?
I did, absolutely. I knew I couldn't get Susan here to listen in person, except she wanted to talk to you, so I knew she would listen.
All righty, righty. Well, you know, what I need is your month and date, and it's like, and I will say to everybody, I know sometimes, you know, we have callers who are repeat callers, and I hope people aren't offended, but honest to God, I don't keep anybody's information, so it's like you have to tell me each and every time when you were born and how old you are.
I totally get it.
I'm not the CIA.
Yeah, totally get it. And the reason that I told Bonnie I was going to call in because I really wanted some in-depth just information from you, because my sister said the weirdest thing to me the other day. She's also psychic, and I also have a sense, you know, and it's just like I went, what? And I went, you know, Kelly will have an answer for this.
That must be your psychic ability, Susan, because I'm like, Kelly's going to read these cards. She'll give you what you want to know. But and so, Kel, she
may not be what you want to hear, but it's what you can know. How about that?
Yeah, well, I figured you're just going to kind of unfold that kind of missing piece that, you know, that I'm looking for. But it's 10/18/48.
10/18, you're going to make me do math. Oh, my goodness. Let's see, 48. Okay, help me out here.
Well, see, you don't have to do that with me, Kelly, because I'm only 15.
Yeah.
So you don't have a whole lot of money.
Do you want my age?
Yeah, 8. Yeah, 65. Okay, all righty. 10/18, all righty. So you are, all right, you're a 4 of clubs, and let's see what else here. You also have the Jack of Spades as your planetary ruler. This year, 65th year, and let's see what I'm going to do. So you can come back into archives because I'll just kind of run this by really quick, because once you have the actual times, they never change. It's like, you know, your personal year dates will always like be the same. So
mm-hmm.
for 10/18, of course your Mercury time started on the birthday. It's like it started at 10/18. You went to Venus. Your Venus 52 days began December 9th. Mars goes from January 31st all the way into March. Jupiter starts March 24th and goes into May. Saturn begins May 15th, and that's where you're at right now is your Saturn time frame. So that might be some of what's happening. Saturn just got out of retrograde, but we're in Mercury retrograde. And then the Uranian time frame for you is on 7-6. It begins July 6th. And as the last part, bringing up the rear, but not last of all, not least, is Neptune. And that begins August 27th, and those 52 days go up until your next birthday. So let's just kind of take a look and see where you're at. It's like I'm not sure it's going to be beneficial to see where you've been so far in the year, because that's, you know, because I did that one night with somebody, and they were like, you're telling me everything that's already happened. He says, this sounds like, you know, exactly what's happened, you know, during this past year. And I said, well, yeah. It's like, that is what, you know, he goes, yeah. I said, that was really eerie. So I was like, yeah, okay, that's the way it works. Okay, so where are you at this year? Ironically enough, you have a Queen of Hearts as your long-range card this year. So it's going to be about relationships. The Queens are about self-mastery. So that's kind of like on your plate all year, is mastering yourself, mastering your emotions, mastering, you know, self-mastery of relationships, that kind of stuff. The Queen is also known as the marriage card, but unless you have a suitor or a married heavily, you might be applying that in a different way. Okay. Let's see here. In your Saturn time, you've got a very powerful card right here. You've got an Eight of Spades, and then you've got your Planetary Ruler card. You've got the Jack of Spades. The Uranian time frame, you're going to have the Queen of Spades coming up with the Seven of Clubs, and ending your year, you're going to have a Two of Clubs in your Neptune time. Now, what you have done for this year so far, the Pluto and Result cards are read as a pair. The Pluto is like a challenge card. The Result card is a solution to the challenge. You've got a Seven of Diamonds as your challenge card. So this is, the Sevens are about, you know, having faith. And because it's in diamonds, it can indicate things that are happening either financially. It's like, you know, having faith, knowing that the universe is, you know, going to take care of you financially and that kind of stuff. And if you just carry that and have that confidence, you tend to be more financially prosperous. However, if you let yourself worry about financial things, you can shoot yourself in the foot. And, you know, this is a law of attraction that where, you know, you're going to attract what you think about. So what you focus on is what you're going to bring about. However, the Result card being the Queen of Diamonds,
my queen.
There's self-mastery with the finances. And it's not just finances. The diamonds also represent your values. So that's, you know, the finances are just our, you know, how we pay our rent, how we pay our bills, you know, that kind of stuff. But we learn lessons with those. But the deeper message is your values. So somehow or other, there's going to be some shifting in values and things that you value and things that, you know, you might be some shifting, I'll say, of philosophical ideas or things like that. Or, you know, having some new metaphysical learnings come on the horizon, you know, things like that. Your environment card, man, I've never seen so many diamonds right in a row there. You've got a Two of Diamonds in your environment position. And the environment is a year-long card that's kind of like where you're going to get your blessings all year. That is, twos are always about being in partnership with someone or something. Again, the diamonds, yeah. Diamonds is, they went as a girl's best friend on that one. Okay, finally, I was waiting for that. I was waiting for the gallery to pipe up here. But just that, you know, the values, it's like you're going to have some partnership in values and some partnership for finances. For your displacement card, you've got the Blessed card. You've got the Ten of Diamonds, which the displacement card is kind of, you know, the yearly challenge card. It's like, you know, if things are going to happen, you know, it's when it's being displaced. But as far as, you hit challenges. And with this being the Blessed card, that's really kind of like, yeah, your challenges are really not going to be that challenging this year. It's like, you know, things that come up, you're going to be like, it's kind of like water skiing over, and you're just kind of going to go blip, and it's like, it's going to be by. Okay, does that make sense?
That's cool.
Okay.
Well, do you have a time? Do you have? It sounds really good, but do you have a time frame? You know, I'm not here in the month.
Yeah, the Saturn, okay, we're going to go back to that. The Saturn time frame is what you're in right now. So it's like things that are coming up, may be challenging, okay? So, and the Saturn went from, let me look at that again, I just said that. Your Saturn time frame, it started May 15th, and it's going to go until July 5th, okay? So right after July 5th, you'll be, you know, you'll kind of get out of that really more heavy Saturn energy, which I think that's really close to the time it goes on retrograde. Or is it, I think Saturn goes forward, I think it's maybe July 20th. But you'll actually be in the Uranian time frame, July 6th starts the Uranus time frame. That's always a lot more lighthearted. The double Aquarian Zap moment. Let's see here. I do want to take a quick look with the Eight of Spades. Eight of Spades is usually the power to overcome things, but you've also got the Jack of Spades. So you've got two very strong cards in that Saturn time frame. And I'm just going to look and see if there's anything in particular that is on the horizon there. It does bring you power to overcome illness, and then it's, of course, you know, the spades are about work, business, you know, office, that kind of, you know, that kind of thing, your career. Success in work and health comes through hard work, discipline, and patience. You know, spades, it's always about work. You might reach a high point of success now if you work for it. It's not a time when things come easily, even with this Eight of Spades, but you know, if you work for it, there's, you know, you're going to have what you work for. Your work, your health may have some restrictions or obligations associated with them. But, again, it promises the overcoming of obstacles by your consistent effort. And, again, it's such a strong influence, it's going to override any negative influences during this period, even with the Jack of Spades. And I'm going to take a look at that because Jacks can be tricky. Jacks are... I hate to say the jokesters of the deck, but it's like Jacks really have a duality about them with things. And in Saturn, again, it can represent difficulties in association with, oh my goodness, an incompetent doctor. Okay, that's not cool. It's just indicating it would be wise not to put your trust in doctors during this period or to a lesser extent for the entire year. It's also called the rip-off card, and this is why I'm saying there's a lot of dualities with these Jacks in some way. So really, this is where I tell people, you know, watch your pocketbook, watch your backpack, you know, watch your personal possessions, and just be aware of people who might be either, I don't know, you know, dishonest, disreputable, you know, who might be a person after type of thing. In kind of general, it's like look out for men in the spade suit, especially if they're younger or who may be approaching you from either a romantic or creative point of view, because they may prove to be burdensome in some way, at least during this time frame, and to, you know, again, to a lesser extent for the year. So I'm hoping this is making sense.
Well,
is it ringing any bells with you? Does it make any sense?
Well, it's making some sense. Yeah, it's not very optimistic and not very lighthearted, but gee, thanks, Kelly. You know, I've just gone. You said it started in 5:15. I have just lived Murphy's Law for the last 3 weeks, and nothing that you said sounds like it's going to get any better.
At least until July 5th. Okay, I'll let's see if there's a light at the end of the tunnel that's not the oncoming train. How about let's look at what you've got the Queen of Spades in the Uranian time period, and that was a highly spiritual influence, and that could indicate a time where you might have, again, some profound experiences either of awakening, self-realization, you know, the Queens of the Self-Mastery. There's bound to be some interesting experience during this period that lift you to new levels of understanding and awareness, spiritually speaking. On the practical side, you might find your work and real estate concerns are going very well, if you're involved in anything like that. If you're working hard against spades, you know, hard work, apply that new understanding to the mundane situations in your life. It's going to turn out much better. Again, any women of the spade suit in this time may seem to be unpredictable during this time period because Uranus, you know, you never know which – Uranus bounces like a football. You never know which way it's going to bounce, okay? So just kind of have that awareness, and it's the old, you know, be patient, be tolerant. And then you've got the Seven of Clubs. Seven of Clubs is your second card in that Uranian time frame, and I really want to take a look at that because that's – Sevens are always, you know, the faith cards, and this is about communications. Or, yeah, okay, there we go. Or could bring some unexpected trouble or doubts related to work or friend or real estate transaction. So, you know, maybe some plans you made were unexpectedly interrupted. Again, it's a highly spiritual influence because the sevens are. You have to be prepared to let go of plans and adopt a positive attitude. Oh, here's the kicker. In spite of whatever circumstances present themselves, okay? So you're going to be looking for the silver lining to the rain cloud, okay? You might be able to experience the higher mind potential of this card, the cosmic consciousness and freedom from worry and concern. It is a really good influence for spiritual matters, for learning new spiritual information, attending classes, things like that. Again, you know, that the queen will offset some of them because the royal house cards, you know, tend to kind of do that. But, yeah, so you might have some, I'll say I call those speed bumps, you know.
it may not
be excessively optimistic, but it's like, yeah, well, all I can say is don't drive too fast over the speed bumps. How about that one? Let me look at your Neptune time and see what your Two of Clubs has to say in Neptune. If you're traveling during that time, because the Neptune time frame is going to be that the one in August, just like that begins in August, you might meet one or more people with whom you have a lot of common, with intellectually, or you might meet a person who's well-traveled that you might share interests and have one or more, you know, pleasant meetings with. In general, it's a good influence for sharing of intellectual pursuits and making new friends, especially if that's something you have been, you know, kind of dreaming about or wanting to do. It can also indicate some secret fears you might be having about the things that affect you off and on for the entire year. If so, the things you are afraid of will probably never happen, so, you know, don't waste your time worrying. But again, you got to keep a positive attitude to compensate for the negative psychic impressions. And what they're pulling me back to is I think it was that Jack, it's like, be careful of incompetent doctors, okay, for whatever that means to you. So, maybe just if a doctor tells you something, maybe get a second or even a third opinion, okay, if something like that is going on.
Since I don't do doctors,
yeah,
then
I don't think I have to
worry about that, yeah.
What about the last one, Kelly, which is by her birthday, which is August, which is October?
Okay, that was the two that we just looked at, was the Two of Clubs. The Two of Clubs is also card, you know, can be called the card, the argument card, or, you know, it's a communication card. It can be fear in arguing if you're not aware of it, you know, but again, that was that, you know, if you're traveling, there's people you may have, you know, things in common with, and it's a good, you know, it's a good time to meet and share, you know, intellectual pursuits or make new friends, you know, something if that's, you know, something that she was really kind of wanting to do. And then that was also the secret fears that,
yes.
You know, things can affect her on and off, you know, for the entire year. So that's, you know, and again, that was one. It's like, don't worry, Bobby McFerrin, don't worry, be happy. You know, so it's like the things you may be secretly afraid about might never come to happen. So don't waste a lot of your time in worry. It's more to the point to, you know, put forth positive thought, and it's like, and then if there is a pothole you hit, it's like, you know, deal with it then, but, you know, yeah, right, okay, that's really funny. Don't go stepping into potholes before, you know, don't anticipate doing that, okay? Don't walk down the road going, oh, my goodness, I might step into a pothole, you know, 50 yards from now. It's like, get closer to it, and then, you know, when you see it, go around it, you know? Does that make sense?
Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love you, Susan. Oh. I love you, baby.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Find some light somewhere.
maybe in the next yearly. God only knows what mine's going to be, Susan. So I think I'm going to hold off.
I want to see what yours is. Yes, I do, Bonnie. I want to see what yours is when your day is.
No.
Like, I'm gonna get
you. Yes, but you know what, Cal? My birthday is until the 14th, and then I'll do it. So, Susan,
I am going to say
I love you, girlfriend, and I will talk to you later. I'll take the next call.
Okay. Thank you, Kelly. Love you, Bobby. Love you, too, Kelly.
Love you,
bye-bye.
Love you. Bye. Okay. No, Kelly, you don't get to do me till my birthday. Yay! 650, you are on with Kelly and Bonnie. Hi. Hello.
650, you're on live. Hello.
Hello.
There you go. I was going to say, we wondered if you had muted yourself.
Hi. Who are we speaking
to? Marissa.
Hi, Marissa. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Would you like Kelly to look at your life path?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Okay, go for it, Kel.
All right. I just need your month and day of birth and then what your current age is.
March 9th and 26th. I can't remember. Sorry.
Okay. I'm going to make sure the age. You said 22. Is that right?
27.
Oh, dip, 27. Okay. Up, I had you 5 years younger. Okay. That would make a big difference. But all right. Let's see what we got going here. March 9th. I think that's Pisces, definitely. Oh, my goodness. March 9th, you are an Ace of Spades. That is like the card of this deck. That is called the transformational card, the card of the Magi, sometimes, the card of the Phoenix. And you've also got a planetary ruling card that's a Two of Hearts. So let's have a look-see and see. So you just had your birthday not too far back there. Mm-hmm. This is, well, yeah, okay, March, April, May, yeah, okay, June. Okay, well, we're getting there. Okay, you're probably passed a couple of these, but let me take a look. And for your year, okay, yeah. Your Mercury period, of course, started your birthday. The Venus period for you started April 29th. And then the Mars time frame, you're actually into the third time frame here. Your Mars time frame started June 20th, and that will go until August 10th. Your Jupiter time frame, which is your blessed time of the year there, that is, oh, yeah, you're just starting. No, I take that back. Let me get on the right thing there. Now I take that Mars starts on the summer equinox. That actually starts June 21st, so that's just a couple days now. So you actually are still in the Venus time frame. So you will start what is today? Today's the 18th, right? So you got a couple three more days in Venus, and then you're going to start Mars on the 21st. Jupiter will come into play for you August 12th, and then Saturn will start October 3rd. And all these go like for 52 days. It's a mathematical equation, so to speak. The Uranian time frame starts November 24th, and then Neptune begins January 16th. And of course, that'll go to your birthday when you start, over again with the Mercury. So let's see. So you just got a couple days left here in Venus, and then you start Mars. So let's see what is going on for you. And let's see, did I say that one was? Oh, yes, Ace of Spades. All right. That's a very powerful birth card. I will say that one. It's like that's huge things happen. They really do. Well, let's see, 27th year. Okay, and let's see the 27th year here and what that is doing. Because there's also, with this, there's so many different ways to look at things with this because they have things by like 13, they have some long cycle things by 13 years. I mean, there's also a thing you can do that's called a life reading. In the context of what we do here in the show, it's really, really short, just a really short clip and look. Okay, this year for your long range card, you've got a Two of Clubs. And, of course, it's called the conversation card. It can also be called the argument card. But this year you're going to be looking at, partnerships. It's about how you communicate. It's also going to be clubs of the scholars of the deck. So, you may be either in some kind of program of study or finishing one up, or you may be to the point where you want to offer what you know and teach, do some teaching on your own. So, there's a lot of different ways that communications and scholars go together. In your Venus time frame, you've had some really, you start out with a really strong one. I'm just going to do this real quick because your Mercury card for this year was the Eight of Clubs. I mean, and then the one below it is also the Five of Spades, which is the Wanderer. So you really had some strong intuition, strong psychic perceptions because all the eights are like the power cards. So you would have really had some strength. Either in your communications, strengthen what you're learning. But that card of the Wanderer, the Fives, that's a really restless energy. And sometimes you might find yourself either, you know, geographically relocating or, you know, contemplating that or really, you know, wanting to get out and do stuff. And if you can't physically relocate, you might discover yourself relocating the furniture within your house. You know, doing the spring cleaning moment and really.
I always do that.
Okay. Let's see. In your Venus time here, you've got the Eight of Spades as well as the Jack of Spades. Man, that was a combination. I love this. It's like the energy was stuff because that's what Susan just had in a different time frame for her. But it's like, so you've got the Eight of Spades and Jack of Spades in Venus. So you've got the power to have, you know, because, again, are the power cards. You've got the power to have, you know, relationships and things, you know, that you want to bring in. But, again, with the Spades, it's going to be some work. And there's also things with your, you know, it's like, I'm going to say it might be, you know, like loving what you do for a job, for a career, things like that, and really having the power to do the things that you love. You know, it's not just necessarily associated with people, but it's like, you know, it's situations and surrounding. Coming into the Mars time frame, you've got a King of Hearts and you've got a Four of Diamonds. King of Hearts is the loving father card, so it could talk about either a relationship, you know, either I'm gonna say maybe mending some bridges with your, you know, with your own dad, or sometimes it can be taking on the qualities of that king for yourself. So it's really mastering your emotions in a more external way. The Queens talk about mastering our emotions in an internal way. This is more when it's a kingly card, it's doing more with the external world. So it's about mastering your relations outside of yourself because, you know, in some ways you've already mastered some of the things within yourself, so now it's relating to the outside world. With that Four of Diamonds, it's really wanting to be stable in your finances and get some stability in your values. And because it's in Mars, it's going to be, I'm going to say, masculine-related fields. It's like, so whatever you're doing might be dealing with men or might be in a more, masculine, typically a field that, you know, you think of, oh, a male would do this, you know, and, you know, maybe not so much a female. So, you know, you're going to be in this period coming up in the next 50 days coming up, it's just, you know, dealing with guys, okay, and that way.
Okay.
Now, your Jupiter time frame. Jupiter, you've got an Ace of Hearts and a Five of Clubs. Again, there's that restless energy there. Restless and with the scholarship. So, you know, with learning new things, with communicating, with, well, that was kind of funny. It's like they're showing you, like, maybe going to, what do you call those things? Like the fairs, the, on the weekends. Oh, shoot. You know, like maybe setting up a table or something like that somehow. But there's a new love coming in your life in some way or another. And it can be, people always jump to the conclusion, oh, it's going to be, you know, a new relationship. It's like, it can be, and it can be, and then there's other things it can also be. It's like, if you know someone, like, you know, maybe a sister or brother is going to have a new baby to the family. So it's like, you know, or you might get a new pet or, you know, whatever. It's like, it's not necessarily, you know, because if you're in a stable relationship and, you know, people going, oh, my goodness, I'm going to get, you know, a new person. It's like, well, not necessarily a new person, but you might start a line of work that you love, or you might be traveling, you know, and doing, you know, doing some expos or, you know, doing something that you love to do, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's looking kind of for a new love in your life. So it's like, Saturn. Now, Saturn, you've got a couple, I'll say mixed cards here. You've got the King of Diamonds, which is a businessman's card. And that is really auspicious in terms of if you are interested in going into business for yourself, it's a really good card to do that. Under Saturn, you're going to work like a dog to do it. But, Saturn always promises success. If you put the work in, it's like, you know, with that businessman's card, there's a lot of strength and power there. It also has seven of hearts with you. What's that?
I'm sorry. I think that's so funny. I was just talking to my dad about that this morning.
Cool. That's really neat. Upcoming stuff, a preview. You've also got the Seven of Hearts in there, so there may be some karmic things happening with the Seven. It's like, you know, having faith in relationships, or faith in, you know, doing what you, there's a book title, do what you love and the money will follow. So, you know, again, it's you know, something like that, something tied up with that. The Uranian time frame, you've got a Four of Clubs and a Nine of Diamonds, and then because the Neptune time frame, it continues that Nine of Diamonds, I'm doing those together. that four of clubs is really about stability. Fours are always, you know, really wanting to get, you know, I'll say your four legs under you. You know, think of a table, think of a chair. You want something solid underneath you. And that would be either in the areas of your education or, you know, whether that is you educating other people, like as a teacher, or, you know, offering, I get these trifold brochure moments, okay, you know, you're putting something forth where you're teaching someone, or you're learning something, you know, like a seminar. Now, the nine of diamonds, there's, anytime the nine show up, they're a universal card, but they're also an indication that, you know, as one door is going to close, another door is going to open. So somehow or other, it's like putting the bow on the package. If you can think of it as a time of, you know, like graduation, you know, and not look at it as a disappointment, not look at it as Linus getting the security blanket ripped away from Lucy, you know, in the little Peanuts Charles Schulz cartoon column there. Mm-hmm. And things will go better, you know, if you're ready to release things. But there's going to be some sort of an ending, either with a certain set of values or that you have, or with a certain line of work maybe that you're doing, you know. So it's like something's going to be wrapping up, something's going to be tying up, and because that card is repeated, you're going to have like 104 days to work on that, and that is like right before, it'll be right before your birthday again. So that'll be like in, you know, more like the winter months. It's like, you know, coming up. Again, this year, you've got your Pluto in a result pair. Your challenge is the Queen of Diamonds. So that is, again, it's mastering yourself with your finances and with your values. So it's like there's going to be, you know, that's the challenge you've set for yourself. The result card is how you're going to handle it. So that's that Ten of Clubs. And the Ten is support. It's like, you know, the support of ten, either, you know, family, friends, whatever. And it's supported in clubs, which is, you know, again, that's your communication. It's your, you know, it's your education. It's your, you know, teaching, communicating, you know, communicating things. So it's like whatever your challenge is with that, it's like you're going to find some answers possibly by mastering, you know, getting the mastery of your finances by, you know, write a book. I don't know. you know, something in the communication things there. Your environment card is a Jack of Diamonds for the whole year. Again, Jacks can be those shifty guys. You know, they have the high side and the low side. So it's like to get the most out of it, keep everything on the up and up. It's like absolutely make sure that, you know, when you are communicating with people, you are doing the best, highest, you know, most positive thing possible. And just, you know, it's always kind of, I always say just, you know, watch your backs with the Jacks. Oh, my goodness. And the displacement one, you've got the Jack of Spades. The Jack of Spades can be.
Stay away from the Jacks and love
it. Well, no. They're not all bad. See, they're not all bad. It's like, yes, it can be the card of the ripoff, but it's also the card of the spiritual initiate. So, you know, it just depends on whether you're looking at the low side of it or the high side of it. So if you're walking in a bad part of town or whatever, it's like make sure you get a good grip on your purse. But
yeah. Make sure you got the Kings rocking with you, girlfriend.
There you go. Carry your billy club. No. Right.
Or your mace.
So you got, you know, so you have those dualities, but it's like you can always look at working, you know, you always want to work at the high side of those Jacks, and it's like, but be aware. It's like the Jacks are the ones, I think one of those is what they call the one-eyed Jack, so it's like sometimes you only see things with one perspective. So that would be, you know, more of a challenging thing is make sure when you see situations, you look at it with both eyes open and don't see it from just one way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope that helps. Thanks. And it's like, Bonnie, I know you've got something to say. You've been quiet for so long. Come on. I know you've got stuff.
Well, you know, I have to tell you why I have something to say, because I had a spirit with me, and they told me to put it in chat, and I'm going to throw it out. But if somebody already took it, I kept seeing a farm. It was like, you know, this farm.
Organic milk?
The sign was the Green Acres. You remember the Green? You're too young.
Yes, Eddie Albert and Eva Gabor.
Yeah.
Green Acres is the place to be.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure why, but they were showing me that, and then he was stamping his feet with, you know, a pitchfork, and then I saw dairy cows behind him. So that's why, and I put it in chat while you were talking, and one of the girls said that might be her grandfather again, because I kept seeing the cows, and she said, yes, we had cows. And I keep hearing that she wasn't eating right, and that whoever it was not eating right, and that they needed organic. But organic's expensive, so I don't know if they eat organic, or he was trying to tell them that they weren't eating right. So the next thing he showed me was organic with the cows, with the word organic. So I know organic milk isn't expensive, and I know that if anybody relates, are you organic? No, I just feel like it was somebody in chat. But what's your name, honey?
Marissa.
Yeah. Well, is anything because I feel like it's here with me, and it's a kind of a jovial spirit. So he's kind of dancing around, but I kind of got the feeling I'm hearing Green Acres is the place to go. So it might have been somebody. It might be like a twofold. I don't know.
Get out in the country. Ron was talking about the bare feet and put your bare feet on the grass in the stream. I was like, going, that sounds like a lovely thing to do, except not on a rainy day.
That's funny you say that, because my grandfather actually passed 2 years ago, and he's really jovial and fun. I started changing the way I was eating, and I lost around 40 pounds or so.
Oh, then it's for you.
In a more healthy way.
Yeah, that is for you.
Nice.
I mean, because I don't know if the lady in chat gets it, but it's all about healthy. In fact, if you saw what I put in chat, it says you have to eat healthier or you eat healthy, one or the other. He's showing me healthy. Mm-hmm. So it must be your grandfather. Is that? And I was going to say something, but Kelly kept talking, so I didn't want to interrupt her. So I just kind of kept typing. But because her grandfather came yesterday, it's so funny that the scene I see is the Green Acres, which means to me that, you know, and then I hear the song, Green Acres is the place to be. So I know the farm was jovial. I know that the grandfather was very, because some of them come very stern. This one was funny. He's, you know, he's like stomping his feet to the music, and then he was showing me organic. And I thought, wow, I don't really want to put that in because a lot of people can't eat organic. It's expensive. But he kept saying healthy. She has to eat healthy or she eats healthy. Sometimes I don't get it's your message. And then he keeps showing me organic milk. So I don't know if you drink organic milk or you were thinking about it. Yeah, so honey, your grandfather's here with you and he's throwing out, you know, he's throwing out. You can read my message in chat. But he was throwing out hearts and kisses and saying he loves you.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Yeah, so I hope that has helped you. You do have people with you, around you, who always support you. And he was pointing to his belly. So he was saying, yummy, yummy, you know. So he wants you to eat healthy. Yeah. So that's funny. Well, you know what's so funny? We say that people come in groups, and we had another grandfather farmer came yesterday. So, see, they just pop up, and I'm shocked because, I'm a city girl, and so when I see a farmer, I'm like, don't give me a sign because I'll never know how to tell them this. So it's really interesting. They throw corn at me. Now, today I didn't have the corn. Today I had the organic health, you know, hay, dairy cows in the back. The organic word. So, you know, I could see, and the Green Acres thing was really cool. I was watching that. So I love that so much. And, you've got spirit around you. And what he's saying is, I bet you're surprised. This is what I put in chat. I bet you're surprised. And so I don't know if you were surprised he showed up or you didn't think he was going to show up. Yeah, so I did put it. You can look in chat, everything that I put in chat. So I can tell you that he loves you very much.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. But you know what? I kind of feel from you, you know that already.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and I kind of feel you know what I'm talking about and you know about spirit.
Yeah, I would dream about him. One time I was like half asleep and I dreamt that. I was on my...
She's an ace of spades, so it's like her life is about transition, about changes. It's about the phoenix rising. You know, it's like she's got that energy, and it's like very highly intuitive. I didn't get that.
Yeah. Well, I got.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I'm
right there
for you.
Well, when you passed, I think 2 months after we traveled to Tahoe, and I dreamt that he was knocking on my door, and I answered, and he was telling me, "I'm gonna go do my rounds, and I'll be back." You know. And he was holding my aunt, that actually she was a stillborn, and she was born on March 9th, a year before I was born. And he had her with him. And he, you know, went away. And then, I was dreaming about him.
Well, listen, I only have 60 seconds left, and I've got to say this really quick. Tomorrow, everyone, we've got a great powerhouse show, and then I'll be back with you. But we have a great powerhouse show. We have
holy moly!
I know. We have Annabelle Miller and her daughter Brenda Brandt, mother daughter intuitive psychics, medical intuitive, and we have Leslie Journeys in the house. Second hour, 2 to 3. So we have a full show tomorrow of psychic, medical, metaphysical, every kind of psychic you could think of is going to be on our show tomorrow, including me, which you don't need because I'm always on. But anyway, I have to tell you, your grandfather was very prominent in your reading. He came right away, which if you see when I started, it was when Kelly was talking to you. And I said, hey, I'm getting a grandfather. And
I don't reach out when I'm reading. It's like I can't read and read at the same time.
Yeah, well, I can't either. So I thought this was pretty cool. I love that your grandfather's around you. I love when you are surprised when somebody comes because that's my job. I mean, spirit goes through me to give you these messages. It's not me, it's spirit, and it's so exhilarating for me. I get such a rush that it actually makes my day. So thank you so much for allowing me to share this with you. And now
thank
I'm going to ask, oh, thank you, honey. You're just so sweet. Please call back. And that way we can hear about your grandfather. But I think you already know how intuitive you can be. You just really haven't come out of the closet yet, maybe. So
I sort of don't know how to do that.
Like,
I know.
Closet.
Here,
I'm in the garage.
Yeah, I'm in the garage. But I have to tell you something. You want me to tell you real quick, and we're going to go into overtime anyway. But here's how you do it. Do you want to come out of the metaphysical closet is what I need to ask.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Because like I said, I'll have dreams or spirits will come and knock on my door and ask me for help.
Wow,
and
nice.
And I only dream about them knocking on my door. And I have to open it. And, like, one time I did steal my grandpa, I had a dream about me being in my mom's house and my grandma saying, oh, they saw him. And I remember saying, why can't I see him? And I swear it was real. I felt like someone hugged me while I was asleep and put their cheek right next to mine.
I know, but I have to tell you, my computer just died.
Oh, no.
So I can't even, there would be no way for me to even take the show off, Kelly, so you're going to have to. But
I will do that. Okay.
But I will have to tell you that the reason why you only see them like that, do you know why?
Mm-hmm.
Then
no, I don't know why.
Well, you're not ready yet, because until you're really 100, see, they know your foot is halfway out. And they know that they can come to you and you'd be all right, but it's coming out that you wouldn't be because you're not quite sure, and you're not quite sure what it all means when you do. So you are perfectly great with what you do. A lot of people rock their own, you know, the girl Janie, if you heard, she was on, she, very intuitive, hears spirit, but really doesn't tell anybody. But she just doesn't do it because she feels it's private for her. She doesn't want to do it for anybody else. So what they're saying to me about you is you have the ability, they're knocking at your door, which means they're going to bust through anytime you're ready for them. So how does that sound? Love that. I girlfriend, I rock spirit. I love it. I thank you so much because when I feel spirit, I'm so exhilarated. I'm like on a high. So the thing is that not everybody, I mean, Susan, she doesn't want to rock spirit. She rocks intuitive psychic. She can do it. But she doesn't want them touching her, being with her, and I do. So she always says, I'm going to go to Bonnie. Because she knows I'll take all of it.
I've got that cold hand on my shoulder. No. Go touch Bonnie. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah. So I'm a spirit lady. I'm a spirit girl. But anyway, that would be what you would have to do. And you're not ready. You're not ready to really accept that kind of responsibility.
I'm going to say you're only 27. It's like, oh, my goodness. You know, it's like you'll hit this about mid, I'm going to say about mid-30s. It's like you might be
that's what I think.
More in a mental frame of mind to do this because it's like,
And you're too young. Yeah, you're too young. It's there. Don't worry about it. It'll come to you, and it'll get stronger and stronger.
They never go away. And they don't have time on the other side like we do, so they'll always be
There's a pair that I was afraid, like, I would lose it or I would stop. Because I haven't dreamt about them in a while or anyone.
Yeah, because you're pushed to get away.
Okay. I did hear about this one lady, which freaked me out, and I don't know. There's one lady that knocked on the door, and I told her, hey, you're not supposed to be here. And sort of like a white light came out of me, and I pushed her up and told her to follow it up to heaven.
Well, I have to tell you, you need to protect yourself, and this is what you're not doing, why you're not ready, because you're too young and you haven't read and you haven't taken any courses. Of course, I took courses and courses, and I just never took
That's
a course.
That's 101 self-defense.
Yeah,
really
self-defense.
Like you need to make sure you know how you're shielded and protected before you step out.
Yeah, and you're too young. But when you do, look into your angels. My favorite one for you, because you're young and because everybody rocks with angels, before you find any of your guides and your gatekeepers and all that, that you're too young for it right now, is call in Archangel Michael. Look up Archangel Michael. And what you do is you say, when that happens, and you've got the power to do it because you push them away, so you already know what to do. But I always ask, like, in the morning when I get up, I call in Archangel Michael, and I say, hey, dude, you've got that sword. I want you to cut all the ribbons and ties to me and fill it up with your green gook, which is helping, loving, and healing. And then I want you to bubble me in your great purple light. I want you to protect me, keep all the negative energy, entities, and spirits away. Let them bounce off your bubble that you put there and go back to sender, going through the white light of the universe, because you never want to send anything back bad, because we're all good. And then you're protected. So if you ever do feel like vulnerable, call in the Archangel Michael. He'll help you out. Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I hope to talk to you, Kelly.
If you want another cute visual, if you've ever seen The Incredibles, think of the little gal Violet. It's like her, you know, her little force field bubble thing. It's like, think of a force field. Think of a bubble around you. So it's like,
And
except
see,
you can
they
make it bounce off and make it fun.
Yeah, and you know what? I have to tell you, whatever you don't want, they have to do. Just remember that you're in control. But you don't have to worry about it. You did what you were supposed to do, and you're not ready. But I'm just looking forward to it, because you are really, really going to rock this in your late 30s. But anyway, or in middle 30s, it'll start really coming. So get prepared.
Yeah, that's cool.
Anyway,
well, I'm excited. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Thanks to look forward to in life.
Kelly, I have no board, so I'm going to get off. Okay. But if you want to shut the show down, or whatever you want to do. I love you, Kelly. I love you, everyone, if you're out there. I love spirit. I rock spirit. I thank you so much for allowing me to rock your spirit. And I am honored. I'm in awe, and I'm humbled to be able to do it. And I hope that I've helped anybody out there, because that's really why I do it. And I love it. And please join us tomorrow. For anybody who's still out in chat and listening, we have a heck of a day.
I guess they got the blog boot, Bonnie. We're still getting the blog boot off. What people have to do in order to come back into chat is they have to do what we call go to the future to come back to the present. Because if they can find our next day show, if they click on that, it'll bring them back to our current chat. But it's like, I haven't really gotten to explain that a whole lot to people, so yeah.
I'll have to ask you.
Everybody gets blog booted off. So I'm alone in chats. It's okay.
Well, listen, okay, everyone have a great day. Kelly, I got to tell you something. Something's wrong with my iPad. Like, I can't hear. I have to put these microphones in, and I can't, and I never had that, and I've got nothing on the board. So that's why I'm having trouble with this. I am going to get off. I love you, and everybody, thank you again, and have a great day. Bye.
And to our archive listeners, yes, we thank everybody. We appreciate our listeners and callers and participators, and it's like in duty. So we'll be back tomorrow.
Bye.
hopefully with fewer computer problems.
Yes, I've got so many guests. Okay, bye.